Richard, your thoughts on time travel. Possible one day?
Well, one thing people should know is that time travel to the future, which is the subject of many science fiction books, you'd like to visit the future, not only is this known to be possible, but people are actually doing it in a small way today. Einstein proved in special relativity in 1905 that moving clocks tick slowly, and this was has been verified by flying an airplane around the world going east so that its velocity adds to the velocity of the Earth. And so when it comes back, it's like 56 nanoseconds slow relative to one that it stayed on the ground, just like Einstein predicted. So this has actually been verified. We see that elementary particles that are going near the speed of light, these decay more slowly than they would if they were sitting in the lab. So we know that moving clocks tick slowly, and there's the biggest – so all you have to do if you want to visit the Earth, let's say, in the year 3000, is get on a rocket, go at 99.995% the speed of light out to Betelgeuse, which is 500 light years away, and come back. And it'll take you 500 years to get out there, 500 years to get back. But because you're going near the speed of light, you will only age 10 years. So when you come back, you'll find the Earth 1,000 years in the future, and you will have only aged 10 years on your spaceship. Now, we have an astronaut today, Sergei Krikalev, who, by virtue of 6 space flights and going about 17,000 miles per hour in orbit around the Earth, he has aged 1/48 of a second less than he would have if he'd stayed on the Earth. So that means that when he comes back to the Earth at the end, he finds the Earth 1/48 of a second in the future of where he expected it to be.
Isn't time travel, too? Like when I travel from St. Louis to L.A., I save time. I pick up 2 hours.
Well, that's a time zone.
Yeah.
Yes, you can go across the dateline and so forth. But that's a man-made invention, you know. I mean, we could all be on the same time. We could all be on Greenwich Mean Time, you know, and use the British standard. And then we'd have one time zone in the whole world. But this is really going toward the future in a way that's as real as the fantastic voyage of going 1,000 years in the future. It's a small amount that we've gone. 1/48 of a second. I know she laughed when I said 1/48 of a second. And that's because that's rather small. But someone asked me once, they said, well, so why is it so hard to travel in time when it's easy to travel in space? And I said, well, no, actually, we haven't been much further in space. The furthest we've been out is to the moon, and that's 1.3 light seconds away. Einstein taught us that we should compare distances in space with times by using the speed of light. So we say that Alpha Centauri is 4 light years away because it takes light 4 years to get here from Alpha Centauri. So the most distant we've ever been is the moon. That's 1.3 light seconds. So we've gone 1.3 light seconds in space and 1/48 of a second in time. So Mr. Krikalev, who's this astronaut time traveler, he's made a voyage in time about as long as Lindbergh's voyage in space was across the Atlantic Ocean. It takes light about 1/48 of a second to go across the Atlantic Ocean. So we've traveled kind of a similar amount in time, and it's just because of the fact that we're traveling at a low velocity relative to the velocity of light. You increase the NASA budget and let us travel faster, and we will travel more toward the future than we have done.
Did you see the movie Avatar?
Yes.
What'd you think of that?
I loved it. I thought that Cameron's a genius, you know.
Yes. He's been on the show. I wish I had you on when we had Cameron on. Maybe I when we get him back, because he's writing some sequels to that.
Oh,
but
yes.
He is. He is a genius.
Yes. And I love the 3D stuff. In fact, in The Sizing Up the Universe, Bob Vanderbilt, my co-author, and I, we decided that we should have some 3D pictures in the book. So we've got 3D pictures of some of these great wall structures. We've got 3D pictures of orbits in the solar system and Saturn's rings. And so I thought the 3D thing really made you feel like you were there. Avatar is very interesting for the following reason. It takes place on Alpha Centauri, supposedly. Mm-hmm. There's a planet there. We really do find Jupiter-like planets orbiting other stars. Avatar planet Pandora is actually a moon orbiting this Jupiter-sized planet. You can see the Jupiter-sized planet way up there in the sky. It's like 40 degrees across in the sky.
And a quick question about that. When we say Jupiter-sized planets, they're gas planets, which means how big is the solid portion of the planet?
Well, it's smaller. I mean, Jupiter has a sort of metallic core. The gas giant planets, it's considerably smaller, and it sort of just meshes into a metallic core. But most of the volume of it is gas.
I mean, does it have like a little surface, or could there be, you know, things on it, mountains and things like that?
Well, the pressure down there is so large, you really don't think of it as a surface.
It's just,
the atmosphere just gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And so we sort of mark the visible surface of Jupiter where you get to about one Earth atmosphere pressure. So the planet that people look up in the sky and see in Avatar is about like Jupiter. Now, one thing that happens in the movie that was kind of interesting to me is that this Jupiter would be very bright. I mean, it's much bigger than the full moon. The full moon is a half a degree across. This is obviously like 40 degrees across. So it's like more than 40 squared times 4. It's four times 40 squared times more light than the moon. And Jupiter's more reflective than the moon. So in Avatar, it's shown as nighttime, and he's using at night. He's getting a torch out so he can see, and then there's this Jupiter softly glowing up there in the sky. It would actually be a lot brighter than that, because they're about the same distance from the sun as we are in the movie. Otherwise, the temperature wouldn't be right on the Pandora planet. So that's one interesting thing. But the movie brings up a very interesting point, and that is that we're seeing a number of planets that are around low luminosity stars, red dwarf stars like Gliese 581. And if you're in the habitable zone of one of those low luminosity stars, you have to be pretty close to the planet, to the star. And that means that You'll be so close that your planet would likely be tidally locked to the star, like the moon is locked to the Earth, so that the moon always shows the same face to the Earth because of the tides that the Earth exerts on the moon.